So I'm here with Eric Hansen from SQL Server. Thanks for joining us.
All right, thanks, Zach.
So what did you work on in SQL Server 2008, and what's your role?
So I'm the lead program manager for query processing in SQL Server 2008, and I was also the scenario owner for data warehouse scale in the release. So I helped coordinate a bunch of different improvements that were related to data warehouse scalability.
Cool. So that, there's a lot of interesting things we did there. Could you sort of expand upon what the big highlights are?
So in data warehousing, so we did several different improvements for data warehouse scalability in the engine in particular. That's what I was closest to. So we did a star join query processing improvement, which helped boost star join query performance by in the neighborhood of 30%. And we did a couple of interesting parallelism improvements. One was the partition table parallelism enhancement. So those of you who've used SQL Server 2005 with partition tables, you may have experienced that for some parallel queries, you only get one thread per partition.
Right.
So if you're partitioning by week, say, and you run a query that says, give me my total sales for the last two weeks, then you're only going to get two or three threads running that whole query in some cases. So we've re-architected parallelism in SQL Server for partitioning for 2008 so that you can use all the threads on your box to process a query like that. So you can get queries speeding up, you know, 16 times or more, depending on how much, you know, the size of your box and the nature of the query.
And that was some weird behavior, sort of unexpected behavior from our customers, because my understanding is that if they were querying on one partition, then they were utilizing all threads that were available. But once they spanned that two partitions is when they'd see a drop off in performance. So
yeah, exactly.
A more consistent experience.
Yeah, it's more consistent. So people love consistency. You know, people. We always tell people. I always tell the people that work for me that, you know, they should design to accommodate the principle of least astonishment. You know, so if you change something a little, performance should change a little. You know, like if you expand your query from 7 days to 8 days, it should just be a little slower. It shouldn't be a lot slower. So we kind of violated that principle, unfortunately, in SQL Server 2005 in some situations with respect to partition table parallelism. So, and what you pointed out is that, yeah, there was a special case where the optimizer could detect that this query was only going to touch one partition.
Right.
And in that case, we would treat it just like a regular single table, and we'd give it all possible threads. And in other cases where we touched more than one partition, it was one thread per partition. So now we actually project how many partitions we're going to touch, and we divide the number of available threads by the number of partitions we're going to touch when we open up a scan operator during query execution and just dole out the right number of partitions or threads to each partition.
Cool.
Yeah.
So the other thing you mentioned, data warehousing on the engine side, was our star join query optimization, and we talked to Torsten about that a bit, and Cesar.
Right, and Alex Cerna is a developer who did a really nice job implementing that star join stuff.
Yeah, there's some rock stars on the team, that's for sure. So besides those two big things, were there other engine-related features that are going to light up the data warehousing scenario?
Yeah, I'd like to point out one, which is, it was really a very small improvement, but it sort of highlights our development process and test improvements that we've done. So we have this feature called few outer rows parallelism.
Hmm.
And so SQL Server 2005 and earlier always use what's known as a block-oriented nested loop join strategy. So what that means is they give one page or block of data to each thread during a parallel nested loop join.
Okay.
So if the outer side, if the outer table has, say, only one page in it, it's always going to be done. The query will always be done by one thread.
Okay.
So even if there's 100 rows on that page, you know, and it's done doing a parallel nested loop join, you know, it's not going to use all the threads. So in a data warehouse configuration, often you have a big fact table, which is a historical table that's partitioned by date, or at least got a clustered index on date, say.
Uh-huh.
And another table called the date dimension. And typically you pick out rows from the fact table via a join with the date dimension. So you'd say, give me for every, you know, day in the first week of July 2008, you know, pick out those days from the fact table. So that's
done
via a join. So you've got seven rows on this side, and they join to this gigantic fact table. And so basically, we've got an improvement now which guarantees you'll get one thread per outer row instead of one thread per page of rows on the outer side.
Oh, okay.
And so a query that might have, you know, said, you know, and typically the date dimension is ordered by the date.
Right.
So those seven rows are on the same page, right, for that the first 7 days of July.
Sure.
So now we introduce a new exchange operator in the query, so you get one thread per row, and the query will run 7 times faster.
Huh.
And so the reason I like to highlight this improvement is that we have a data warehouse scale end-to-end test effort that went on throughout the development of SQL Server 2008. We had a 64-core HP Integrity Superdome that HP provided to help us test the software during development to make sure that we scaled effectively. And that test effort uncovered basically how bad a problem this was.
Okay.
We had no idea how serious this problem was. I mean, our query execution developers actually knew about this problem, but they didn't really appreciate the magnitude of it.
Right.
This very careful testing on a very large scale workload, 6 terabyte workload with 100 or so hand-picked queries that are very realistic, that helped us identify how serious the problem was. And just this one improvement speeded up performance by about as much or maybe even a little more than the whole star join improvement, and it just took like 1 month. It was almost like a bug fix.
Cool. So that's a feature that I haven't ever heard anyone explain. Is it something that was identified sort of late in the development cycle, so it just hasn't got a lot of press, or is it just kind of difficult to understand so we don't try to promote it? Because that sounds pretty important. So
it's... It was identified sort of about, you know, last April.
Okay.
You know, 14 or 15 months ago. And sort of last December, after we finished up other major projects, we squeezed out some time to fix it. So, yeah, we did fix it late in the release cycle.
Okay. Yeah, that's an interesting one. So you mentioned sort of an improved testing process. Does that have anything to do with what we've been hearing about the SQL engineering system? Is that the right SES? That's the whole new idea of how we're developing code.
Test process that I mentioned is a little different than that. We actually had a special, what we call a test improvement, where we had a central services test team that was solely focused on data warehouse scale.
Oh, okay.
And they had dedicated people that tested builds from different improvements throughout the release cycle and tested the mainline code throughout the release cycle to make sure we were making progress and that we weren't regressing.
I see.
And so that helped our quality. And that was outside the normal SES process that you mentioned. So, but within each improvement project like star join and partition table parallelism, we had very focused testing just for that specific improvement that was probably more systematic than we've done in the past and helped improve our quality as well.
Awesome. So besides from data warehousing workloads, were there other things you mentioned in terms of just on the storage side that you're responsible for?
So on the storage side, I mean, the clear, you know, improvement that is really, really popular and that users are really going to love is compression, data compression. So I've been working with the people on data compression, giving them feedback on their designs and helping them set goals and so forth and from the very beginning. And one of the things that we've all tried to strive for is to make the compression ratios be very competitive with everybody in the industry.
Cool. So we've lost the camera battery again, so we're back. We didn't cut anything interesting or secretive. So back again here with Eric. So, Eric, you were mentioning something about ISVs we expect to be adopting compression.
Right. So we expect some big ISVs to adopt compression and recommend that their customers use compression. And that shows how much confidence that they have in the feature and how it works with other features without modifying your application.
Cool. So since we're on the data warehousing theme, could we talk a little bit about the impact that compression could have for a data warehousing scenario as well?
Oh, absolutely. So compression is just fabulous for data warehousing because it shrinks shrinks your storage to about one third of the original size. Typically, you know, we've observed anywhere from a factor of 2 to a factor of 7 compression, and like 2 3/4 is about the median that we're seeing.
That's impressive.
So it saves you a lot of money on storage. You know, if you're paying money for SAN storage that's expensive, you can save money on how much you have to buy. And also, it's a big performance improvement in many situations because many data warehouse query workloads are I/O bound, so the cost is dominated by the cost to read the data off the disk. And because the data is just that much smaller, you get a direct proportional speed up.
Yeah.
Right. And moreover, the data is cached in the buffer pool in a compressed format. So
okay.
Each page itself is compressed. So what that means is you're going to get higher buffer hit rates.
Okay.
So when your system is in warm and, you know, data is loaded into memory, you'll get, you know, around 2¾ times more data in main memory. So we're seeing people could have, you know, our experience is that if you get about 10 to 20% of your data warehouse in main memory, then you get almost 100% buffer hit rate for typical, you know, query workloads, and based on, you know, real users. And so suppose you got compression, you got a terabyte database, you compress it down to say 300 gig.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Now you got a machine with 128 gigs of RAM. So you can fit a third of that database or more into main memory, and now you've got your entire working set in main memory, and you're basically operating with almost no I/O during normal query processing. So,
awesome. So the theme is pretty much that we put a lot of effort and a lot of our cards behind data warehousing in this release. Is that
Yeah, it's one of the major themes of the release, definitely.
Yeah. Cool. So just this morning, sign off, final RTM. So must feel good to have this thing behind us. And
it feels great. I mean, and quite frankly, you know, we are always thinking ahead. So, you know, we finished most of our work like 6 months or so ago. You know, the final big improvements were all checked in by like February or so. So
right.
It's since then it's been fixing bugs and, you know, developing, you know, white papers and just, you know, getting everything ready to go out the doors. But it's just great to go back and reflect on all the work that we've done, and it's really exciting to see it go out and to the world. And I'm just thrilled that we're done with it, and I'm waiting to hear feedback from customers.
Cool.
On what it's like to put it in production.
So it's about time to get to the party, right?
Yeah.
All right. Thanks.
All right. Thanks a lot, Zach.